Hi there, and welcome to Nika's Nuggets, where we sort through the happenings of life in search for the pebble in your shoe, the bears on the road, and the beliefs that keep you from moving swiftly along your path. Self-care, mental health, spirituality, and more nuggets to be found on the road forward. Are you coming? One of my favorite learnings from Chile is the value of barter, or trueque, as it's known there. I've mostly encountered it between friends and a lot between artists of any and all kinds. You make this, I make that, how about we trade? I mean, money is fine and a thing we all need in this world, but something about exchanging a service or a self-made thing for another one feels, I don't know, friendlier isn't quite the right expression for it. I don't know if maybe you have traded or bartered and have your own word for it or your own feeling of it. I'd be curious, so let me know. But me, I really love this type of energy exchange because the things we make are what we put most of our attention and feelings into. And it's always felt more meaningful than money. And a huge plus, it's like this almost automatic creation of community. I gave you this, you give me that, and there is this bond created between us through the energy you put into whatever we exchanged, because this is something that stays with you. And among witches, I feel like it happens a lot, or at least in Chile it does, that we exchange our services to one another because we can help each other move forward on our paths. So we exchange readings or channelings or healings, oils, ointments, candles, whatever. And I have a lot of, I've done a lot of that actually. I've done exchanges of energy healings, for example, for Reiki, for, I think, if I remember correctly, someone once did like a healing session, but with stones. So like amethyst and rose quartz, and I don't know what else he used. He picked them based on energy. Like oracle readings in exchange for art. I once did a rune reading for a hand poke tattoo, which was awesome. I've traded for bread. I've traded for tarot readings, herbs. I really like that there's this sense of community that creates once you start trading instead of just paying for something. And there's a rune in the Elder Futhark alphabet called Gabo. The Elder Futhark, by the way, is, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, are the runes, the runic alphabet that was used in the Elder Days by Norse and Germanic peoples. Anyway, it has a stave called Gabo, and it looks kind of like a big X, or maybe like two arrowheads touching tips. But really, it is two rudimentary sets of arms extending a present towards each other, or taking hands. And very appropriately, this rune, Gabo, stands for exchange, for gift, for friendship, or marriage. Not always between people, but, you know, of ideas and ideals, for example. It stands for balance, energy given and energy taken. A gift returns to adorn the giver with greatness and honor. It helps and heartens those who have nothing. Odin says in the Havamal, which is the sayings of the High One, you don't have to give large gifts always. Small things often suffice. Half a loaf and a lifted goblet have found me friends. This is a wonderful affirmation, really, of friendship and exchange, and one that we often still encounter in religious contexts as well as familiar and friendly ones. Now, here in the Netherlands, I don't know. I have yet to encounter barter and exchange. I feel like it doesn't happen, and it hasn't happened in a while. Like, it's disappeared from our culture's view of economy. To the point where I actually often gift money so that the celebrated one can pick out their own gift. This is easy and you're sure to please the one on the receiving end, but really, where is the interpersonal exchange of energies in that? Where's the thought that you put into it? Okay, so it's a bit of a jump, but I will be getting back to this topic probably a bunch of times. So I think this is actually a good moment to start to address what money is in a spiritual sense. We have become so dependent on and yet so separated from the value of money. We can't really do anything without it anymore, and we haven't really been able to for a long time. But it comes from sort of so far from our beds that we have a hard time connected to it. Especially if you're like me and your hackles raise whenever people talk about money in terms of politics and possession rather than value. Like I admit right here, between you and me, I have my issues with money. I'm working on it. And this is actually serving as a really great reminder. So the value of money is that it moves through the world from one hand into the next, feeding all of those hands. And it's not really in the number printed on the bill. I mean, if I spend 10 euros on, I don't know, a bag of herbal tea from a woman running her own herbal business, like from her garden, those 10 euros are going back into the world almost immediately in the form of sustenance for her, either directly, like actual sustenance for her bread or something to help sustain her business or her energy. She spends it at a market. The one receiving it buys his kid a toy, and that toy is loved until it falls apart. The money keeps moving. This is the point. Money moves. Its value lies in how it can support this whole chain of people in their wants and needs. But when you look at money in terms of possession, and you put those same 10 euros in a bank account to just sit there, what does that really do to the value of it? Now, people who are actually versed in investment and banking will likely be like, well, it'll grow, or if you invest it, it grows into something larger and blah, blah, blah. And maybe you do, maybe that happens. But what if you're just sitting on top of that? Every 10 bucks ever spent on you, and you're just sitting on it. Can you still value it for what it is? You're basically taking the life out of it by imprisoning it. It's no longer moving out in the world, turning over and over and over and granting people what they need. So, money, as I have learned over the years, is a misunderstood and abused material form of altruism and philanthropy. I'll talk more on that in coming episodes. But for now, I'd like to invite you to meditate on the personal and maybe spiritual value that money has for you, or how money moves for you, how money lives within your spirituality or your faith, and in what ways or places you might be unconsciously blocking her path. Often we encounter feelings such as shame, worthlessness, anger, worry, or fear. And when these show up, I invite you to write them down and then write their antonym or their opposite energy next to them. And think then on that second list, because how wonderful would it be to view money in a light of worth and empowerment and joy and security? Becoming aware of how you feel about, or as such, block out money, worth, self-worth, and value is a really big first step in resolving prosperity blockages. So, if you've done this, or if you're going to do this, I want you to take a deep cleansing breath and then two more, and then pat yourself on the back. Well done. I'll see you next time, and we'll continue to uncover the spirit of money and her history as I have come to know it. Thank you for joining me and listening. This is obviously not the end of the story, so stay tuned for more. Next time, we'll dig into the dirt for a new nugget and possibly clear some rocks from the road. Don't forget to like, follow, or subscribe, and check out nomadicnika.com for more. I am your host and awareness coach, Nika, and I hope I see you next time. You can also find me on Instagram at nomadic.nika if you're interested in seeing photos from trips, some of my favorite quotes, and some poetry that I've written myself, possibly another source for some extra potential nuggets.